Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is the Tech Guy with Leo Laporte Podcast. I'm Scott Wilkinson, filling in for Leo this weekend. This is episode 741, recorded Saturday, February 5th, 2011. Enjoy! Well, a good day, everyone. Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek. Hey, wait a second. Where's Leo Laporte, the tech guy? Isn't this supposed to be his show? Well, yes, it is. But Leo's on a break. He's actually on a cruise. A three-week cruise. I hope the boat's not named the Minnow. He's sailing around South America. He's going to be in Antarctica, Machu Picchu. It's going to be really, really great. But in the meantime, he's not here. So I'm honored and privileged to be sitting in his seat, actually on his ball, sitting in here for the tech guy. So today we're going to be talking, obviously, about home theater, since I am the home theater geek. And so calls about home theater are very welcome. Just a little bit about me. I am the editor of ultimateavmag.com and the online editor of hometheater.com. And I also host a podcast here on the TWiT network called What Else? Home Theater Geeks, which records Mondays, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 4:30 to 5:30 Eastern Time. And you can watch that live at live.twit.tv at those times. And you can also download the podcast at twit.tv/HTG. It's also available on iTunes and on my website, ultimateavmag.com. You can follow me on Twitter at htgeekscott and email me with questions at scott@twit.tv. Now, today I'm very happy to have in studio one of the primary writers on ultimateavmag.com and also for home theater, David Vaughn, who writes movie reviews and product reviews for both sites. Hey, David.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We're going to be sitting here all day talking about home theater and answering questions and so on. And I'd like to start really by saying, since, of course, this weekend is Super Bowl weekend and one of the busiest TV shopping days of the year, I've actually heard that a lot of people buy TVs today, in fact, which has always surprised me. Why is it that people wait till the last minute to buy these big screen TVs and bring them home to watch the Super Bowl? Are you going to be watching?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm a sports fan.
You are a sports fan. I'm not a sports fan, I have to say. I watch the TV. I watch the game primarily for the commercials and also for the halftime show, Black Eyed Peas this year, which could be really good. Presuming, of course, they don't have a wardrobe malfunction.
Or the building collapses from all the ice in Dallas.
Oh, man. Dallas is under snow and ice. I heard the game that the weather tomorrow is likely to get a little better.
Yeah, it should be a little better. I mean, it can't get much worse.
Yeah. I mean, I heard some people were actually injured from falling ice off the dome, off the stadium.
Yeah, I guess six people went to the hospital from snow and ice falling off the roof. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, they had a helicopter up there searching around looking for areas. And I guess they're going to suspend somebody from a helicopter to knock some of it down.
Oh, my God.
Is what I heard last night.
Man. Well, apparently things are getting a little better weather-wise, but I don't envy those of you who are at the game for that reason. Of course, you know, if you're there for the game, then good for you. And you'll be indoor. I guess that dome is an indoor dome.
Yeah, it's indoors. It's the nicest stadium in the NFL, according to all reports.
Wow, so, it's pretty brand new.
They have a 50 or 60 yard high def screen that suspends above the field.
Wow.
I believe it's the largest high def screen in the world.
Wow. Do you know who made it?
No.
I know Mitsubishi used to be big in the diamond vision business.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it would be Mitsubishi.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, we have this game between the, I guess, the Green Bay Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I honestly almost don't know that. But it should be a great game. And so we're gonna take some calls from people who are going to be buying big screen TVs this weekend, and hopefully being able to help them set them up and do it. In fact, we have one right away. Mike from New Jersey wants to buy an HD TV. Let's see what he has to say about it. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you? I am so glad you are on this week because I heard you were coming and I said, you're the man I need to talk to. Leo's, you're the expert in this area.
Well, thank you. I'm very honored to be a member of the TWiT team and to be able to offer my expertise in the areas of big screen TVs and so on. How can I help you?
Well, I've got actually two separate questions. One that's about me buying my own TV for my own use, and the other is for a friend who is outfitting a hotel.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is really interesting and gives us a completely different way to look at these things.
Sure.
In terms of what I'm looking for, I recently purchased some televisions actually last year, last April, for my mother, and I ended up with a Sony at 46-inch LED side-lit TV, and it's
excellent
picture that I have ever seen on an LED TV. And I'm looking around, I noticed, to me, at least in my personal view, that the Sony pictures are far more natural than some of the other pictures, and it gives me a more natural view rather than popping colors and cartoon-like views that other TVs can give me. And so I'm looking for one for myself and something between a 46 and 52-inch size, and I'm trying to figure out the difference, two things with it. One is there is several different series, an HX, an NX, and then there's the complete back screen lit in a XBR series. And I think that the best compromise is probably an NX that where they call local dimming. I'm trying to keep the prices down, and I also hook it up to believe it or not, it's going into a bedroom, even though it's my primary TV. I don't have room for surround sound, and I'm thinking about trying to match it up with some kind of sound bar, and I'm looking for your advice on all of it.
Right. Well, you've got a lot of great ideas there already. I certainly prefer LED-illuminated LCD TVs, and we should make the point that a lot of companies talk about LED TVs as if it's something different than LCD TVs. It sort of is, but it sort of isn't.
It's just light that's used as opposed to something fluorescent that's using LEDs. Is that correct?
Correct. That's exactly correct. And I generally prefer LED illuminated LCD TVs to the conventional fluorescent illuminated LCDs. They look better. The blacks are generally better. Now, edge lit, as you were talking about, you can't necessarily get the deep blacks that you can from a fully backlit LED TV. Now, the fully backlit LED TVs have this thing called local dimming you mentioned, which lets the dark parts of an image look really dark because they can actually dim the LEDs behind that part of the image. And the bright parts of the image look really bright because they can then brighten those LEDs. So it really does make for a very good picture from an LCD TV. But you're right about the fact that it's also very expensive, which is why most manufacturers have even stopped making them altogether, or maybe only make one or two models that are in their super premium line. So you really want, if you want to save some money, edge lighting is really the way to go. Do you have any LED TVs? No, you're a plasma guy.
I have plasma and front projectors. So.
Yeah, as I am too.
And I was
Go ahead.
Looking at the Panasonic, but if I remember correctly, you had mentioned that with some of the Panasonics, they are doing an automatic brightening that as they age, and we weren't sure how that was going to look 5 years.
Yeah, that's a problem we've called the Panasonic black level issue. And the 2009 models and possibly the 2010 models exhibited this problem. But we took a TV, one of the Panasonic 2010 models, ran it for like 2,700 hours constantly. And the black level rose maybe a tiny, tiny amount. So I don't, and Panasonic has said that they're working on correcting that problem. So I don't think the current models are really going to have that kind of a problem. I generally prefer plasma for a flat panel picture, as I know David does as well. And the reason is the picture looks better. The motion detail is better. Black levels are usually better. That's why I generally prefer plasma. But if you're in a really bright room, and this might particularly pertain to the Super Bowl, You're going to have a problem there. We'll be right back with the Tech Guy Show. I'm Scott Wilkinson. Hey, it's the Tech Guy with Leo Laporte, except it's not with Leo Laporte. It's with me, Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek. We're taking home theater calls this show, all weekend long, in fact. And the phone number to call is 8888-ASK-LEO. But, of course, you'll be asking me, Scott Wilkinson, for this weekend. So just to follow up a little bit on the last call, we were talking about LED, LCD TVs, and plasma. And David Vaughn here and I both prefer plasma for the picture, but in the case of a Super Bowl party, you're going to have a bright room, lots of people. You know, an LED LCD might not be a bad choice in that case.
In fact, where I'm watching the game tomorrow, friends, they have a Samsung LED side lit LCD.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. How big?
50 something.
55
probably. Yeah. And they have bay windows along the back of their house. A plasma would not work in their room whatsoever.
Exactly. So that should be a good experience.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl is being broadcast on Fox, which is interestingly 720p, not 1080i. These are the two formats for high definition TV. And 720p is actually better for fast motion. So it should be really good for sports like the Super Bowl. In fact, football is a great program to evaluate how good a TV is because it's got green grass and a lot of TVs have overhyped greens and you can really see that on the football grass. The detail of the audience, the people in the stands, you can see whether or not they're nice and crisp or kind of soft and fuzzy. So it's really actually a good thing to watch on an HD TV.
And don't forget the cheerleaders, although I don't think either of these teams have cheerleaders.
Yeah, well, they're always fun to watch when they're there.
Yes.
The halftime show, as we said, Black Eyed Peas should be really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we got Dean in Yorba Linda, California, wants to talk about an audio test CD. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Scott, how are you? So far, you're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Basically, I've got an older Onkyo 5.1 surround sound stereo system that I got years ago. But I think the surround sound decoder on the stereo is going out. We notice that we watch some DVDs, the surround sound sounds great. We watch other CDs or DVDs, and the audio sounds horrible. So is there a test CD that I could buy that would run through all of the different surround sound decoders so I could see if it is my stereo going out or it could be the computer that I'm using or whatever?
That's actually a good question. I don't know of an audio CD that has all the different decoders, or the codecs, we should say. The CDs and the DVDs don't have, Blu-rays don't have decoders on them, but they have audio encoded in different formats.
Right.
I know that the Spears and Munsell disc has a couple of things in DTS Master Audio and Dolby True HD, but it's not really an audio test disc. I think Digital Video Essentials HD Basics has a pretty full test suite of audio, but that's more along the lines of making sure that all your channels are hooked up properly and the phase relationships are correct. So that's not exactly what you're looking for either. David, you've looked at the Disney disc, right? The new WOW, it's called, or HD Benchmark or something. I forget what it's called exactly.
Correct, yeah, the Disney WOW disc.
The Disney WOW disc. Does this have soundtracks in the different formats?
I don't remember if it does or not. I mean, I know it does have a bunch of audio tests on it, three different levels of beginner, intermediate, advanced testing to set up your system.
Yeah.
They also include a great reference audio and video disc in there that's worth the price.
Probably 20, 25 bucks.
Yeah.
And it's available as Blu-ray or DVD, which is really good.
Yeah, I only have the Blu-ray. I haven't tried the DVD. Are you having problems just with DVDs, or are you using Blu-ray as well?
No Blu-ray. I've actually got a Windows CE computer, so most of the time we'll take our DVDs and will transfer them to the computer. But I've tried both watching videos that I've transcoded on the computer. I've tried watching straight DVDs without transcoding them. We now have an Xbox. I put the DVD in the Xbox. Same thing. So I'm more determined it's the stereo than it is my components.
Have you tried the same disc at different times and gotten different results?
I've tried the same disc both on the computer and on the Xbox and got the exact same result.
Now, I was going to suggest maybe trying taking notes about you have a certain, DVDs typically will have Dolby Digital or DTS, what's called DTS Core, the regular DTS.
Right.
Try each of those soundtracks and then try, you don't have a Blu-ray player?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay. See if it's consistent that it only happens with DTS or Dolby Digital, or whether it's kind of random and happens sometimes or not, intermittent problem. In which case, well, I'd say in either case, it's probably the receiver. You said it's pretty old, right?
Yeah, it's about 5 years old.
Well, it should be working, but might be time to upgrade.
Right. 5 years is ancient in my house.
Yeah, well, you're a equipment reviewer. You have stuff coming in and out of there all the time.
Yes.
That sounds like a bit of a problem. I would be systematic about which disc was playing which format and seeing if there's any relationship between which format you're playing and whether or not you're having the problem. That would be my best suggestion at this time.
I was hoping for one CD that had all the different types of audio in there, but oh well.
I don't know of one. Maybe at the break I'll look online and see if I can find one, but I sure don't know of one. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Let's see.
Great day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. We got Alex in Long Beach who has a problem or a question about HD players. That
hi Scott. Hi everybody.
Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation with my Verizon Fios tech guy. I'm upgrading my theater. Well, first time. My pops. I got him a Samsung. High def, 32-inch. I got a 28-something 1080p high def. So I set everything up, and I was like, wow, the picture doesn't look good. So I called the Verizon guy. He goes, well, he's like, do you still have your old TVs? I go, yeah. The big tube ones? I go, yeah. He's like, you're pretty much getting the same picture because you don't have the HD programming or the HD converter. I go, so am I getting digital or analog? He's like, you're pretty much getting analog. I go, what if I get a high def Blu-ray player that's HD? And go through the coaxial through that for the cable, then go into the TV. He's like, I can't answer that.
Well,
what do you think?
That sounds pretty strange to me. I can't imagine feeding HD through a Blu-ray player. Blu-ray players really, really can't do that. We'll talk a little bit more about that, I think, when we come back. We're coming up on a break pretty soon. Although I guess we're not quite there yet, so I mean, I have all these screens beside me here. I don't know what to do. Now, do you have the DirecTV connected to the or the Fios directed to the TV connected to the TV by HDMI?
No, it's the coaxial that comes from the pole. I guess.
Are you subscribed to HD, the service?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's probably why.
That's why. But what you're doing is when you have a high def TV, your lines of resolution are so much more, and it's the old garbage in, garbage out thing.
That's right.
And so you're seeing the inherently bad signal of plain old broadcasting TV.
This is Scott Wilkinson in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll be back after this.
Woo-hoo!
Tech Guy with Leo Laporte. This is Scott Wilkinson. This segment of the Tech Guy show is brought to you by Carbonite. To get it back, you got to back it up. So back it up with Carbonite. So we were talking about Fios and not getting HD on your brand new HD TV. And this is really a significant problem that people buy an HD TV and they think they're going to get an HD signal when in fact, unless they have an HD source, they're not going to. Now, the caller, Alex, said that he had Fios, and I was surprised when he said he didn't have any HD coming off of Fios. So, be that as it may, if he doesn't, if it's only 480, which is standard definition, 480 lines top to bottom, the brand new HD TV is going to scale that up to its native resolution, but you're going to have all kinds of scaling issues and stuff like that. And so it's not going to look nearly as good. What he needs to do is sign up for true HD service. And when he sees that, he's going to go, wow.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, let's see here. We've got Justin in Floral Park, New York. Hey, Justin.
You today. I have a 27-inch iMac and a Mac notebook I use when I'm out of town. And I would like to watch my Vios HD on my computers. And I understand there's two systems, and one, I'm wondering if one is better than the other. Like Monsoon has the Vacker, I believe it.
Don't know that one.
The V-U-A-K-A-P-R-O? Monsoon?
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know that one.
And there's, I just can't remember the name of it, where you can watch your regular stuff on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are several ways to do it. David, you had something to say.
Slingbox? Are you thinking of Slingbox?
Slingbox, that's it. And the Monsoon is supposed to be another form of Slingbox, but it's supposed to be better. And you're supposed to be able to record with Monsoon?
I don't know Monsoon. I do know Slingbox, and it's very, very good. I've known people. I've been on trips to Asia, and people said, oh, I've got to watch the game. And I said, really? How are you going to do that? He said, oh, I've got my Slingbox with me.
I have a couple of friends who are airline pilots, and they use Slingbox when they're on the road because they want to catch a Giants game or whatever, and they right. just, you know, hook up through the internet from their home and go that way. That
yeah,
route.
Exactly.
Yamaha receiver, 667 Yamaha. How mm-hmm. do I hook up the Slingbox? Do I... Because I got everything running through the Yamaha.
That's a good question. I've never hooked up a Slingbox. Have you, David?
No, I haven't, but it sits in between or after your... It comes out of the cable box or whatever
right. so
your cable comes
device,
into, your source device, because that's what it's talking to.
Right, and then it comes out of the Slingbox, probably into the receiver in that case.
Correct, and then to the internet and all that.
Right, exactly. So... So that's probably how you'd hook it up, and I would say you'd be golden in that case. Does Slingbox do HD?
I believe they do, yes.
Yeah, okay. So I'd say that's the way to go.
All right, but you have no information on the Monsoon. I was really interested in that because they're supposed to get better tech support.
Hmm. Well, now that you've alerted me to its existence, I'm going to have to look into it. So thanks for that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Thank you.
We got Skip in Kernville, North Carolina. Hey, Skip.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. I bought a new Vizio 47-inch. It's an XVT 47-3SV TV a couple of days ago, and it's got a great, great picture.
I like Vizio TVs, yeah.
On some of the channels, some of the times, I have some white lines at the very, very top that just flicker at the screen, and then they go away, and they're not on all the channels, not all the time, and I just wonder if that's a problem.
No, it's not a problem at all. It's what I like to call, and I've heard called, digital hash. And what it is it's sync signals and stuff coming over the signal that allows the TV to synchronize with what's coming in. Your TV is undoubtedly set to something called zero overscan. I know we're getting pretty geeky here, so hey, bear with me for a second.
Okay.
It's often called, the control is often called aspect ratio or something like that. And You just have to set overscan to be, if you're bothered by it, you need to set it to be slightly, the picture to be slightly bigger than the screen, and it will get rid of that digital hash. Now, there's a problem with that. And the problem is that it causes what are called scaling artifacts. And so you end up sometimes seeing jaggy lines, a little bit of softness, a loss of resolution. So I set my TV to zero overscan and, you know, live with that digital hash when it's on there. It's not usually on there with HD channels. In my area anyway, but some SD channels, standard definition channels, it can sometimes be there. And I just live with it because I'd rather see as sharp a picture as I possibly can. There's nothing wrong with your TV. It's just something that happens.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I see it mostly on standard definition and some what's
exactly
it on a high definition, but it's gone after just a second or two.
Oh, well, then I would definitely leave the aspect ratio or screen size setting, it's sometimes called, where it is. And, you know, just live with it. It's nothing wrong, and you're going to get a better looking picture overall if you do that.
And remember, friends don't let friends watch standard definition television anymore.
I do know that I'll look for whatever's on high def before I watch anything in standard def anymore,
because
that just looks so fuzzy to me now.
Yeah, I use Comcast, and I don't think I ever changed to a channel below 703,
right?
Which is, you know, 700 and up is our high def
right,
service.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. Did we get it for you?
Well, you got it. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
Okay, we got Colin from San Fernando, California, near my hometown of Burbank. How you doing, Colin?
Hey, doing good, gentlemen. I've got a desire to hook up my TV or HD TV in the back of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, we had cables run, and they ran two coaxial and two CAD lines. But, you know, ignorant guy I am, I'm looking at the fact that you need three coaxials in order to drive a HD picture. What are my options?
Cat 5, you could use the Cat 5 extenders that can convert HDMI to Cat 5 that way if your source components are inside the house.
What is your source component?
Right. What I was probably going to do is figure out how to run it off my director dish TV HD converter.
Now, are you running through a receiver or something in your main? Is this your main system or your secondary, like bedroom system?
It'd be a secondary. It's an area off the family room where I mm-hmm. put a second TV. So I'd want the same programming on each. I wouldn't see a reason to have different programming. So I was going to try and split or take the signal that's coming into my existing HD TV and bring that to the back.
Well, it's a very interesting question. David has a very good idea there about using the Cat 5 that's already there. Certainly a lot easier than running another coaxial or another cable along the way. So I would say that's probably your best idea. Something called an HDMI balun, which converts the HDMI into Cat 5, and that can run hundreds of feet. HDMI cannot run hundreds of feet. And then another balun at the other end, convert it back to HDMI. Is your TV in the bedroom? It'll accept HDMI, right?
Definitely.
And your source device has HDMI out?
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's what I would do.
That would probably be your best bet. And then you could use one of the coax lines. If you want to be able to control the source components, you can put an IR box on that end.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks so much for the call. That was... Colin, this is Scott Wilkinson in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, except when it's not. For today, it's me, Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek. And we're taking calls about home theater. Let's see, who have we got here? Mike in Costa Mesa. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Scott.
Hello? There you are. Hey,
yeah,
welcome to the show.
Good, thank you. I've got a Samsung 56-inch DLP that's about 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed, like last week, it started to develop a couple little teeny white spots on the screen, and now they're growing daily. About So I think I have a resolution to it. They're going to, even though it's out of warranty, there's a known issue, and if you push them and talk to their executive consumer relations center, they'll cover it, even though my model wasn't one listed. But my question is this common with all DLPs? And I'm thinking about eventually going to an LED. Am I looking at this kind of issue with all technologies, with the plasma?
Oh, no.
No?
No, no. It sounds like a very uncommon problem to me. It sounds like a defect in your particular TV, so I definitely would try and get it fixed under warranty or whatever arrangement you can make with them.
Yeah.
But that's not a common problem at all. You've never seen that, have you, David?
No. The only thing I can say is the DLP rear projection units have been inherently hard on bulbs,
mm-hmm.
and the optical blocks have... Sony had a big problem with optical blocks. I'm not sure about Samsung.
Yeah, but Sony wasn't DLP. That was SXRD.
Oh, that's right.
And
SXRD.
They had the green blob problem.
Yeah, big time. my mom had a Mitsubishi DLP that didn't last 36 months. It was really, really bad. And so she upgraded to a Pioneer Elite Curo.
Ah, well.
So.
If you could get one, that would be the way to go. I have a Pioneer Elite Curo as well, and man, oh man, is that a good picture.
Definitely so.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I would do. You're not going to have a problem with that when you upgrade to the 21st century.
So there's not such a thing as light emitting diode TVs, like burning out diodes down the road and, you know, getting the same.
Nah, not for 60,000 or 100,000 hours, which is...
Okay.
What, 20 years at eight hours a day or something ridiculous like that. So, no, you're not going to have a problem with that.
Samsung's coming through on this. I mean, when I did a research on the internet, many, many people are having this problem. And
really?
Specific to one thing. They're starting to rise 2 to 3 years into the TV, and they're making good on it. But they're saying it's a DMD chip issue, which they've changed now or something. But anyhow, I'll have an answer for you next week.
Very good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Just wanted to make sure everyone knows that you can be watching a video stream here if you happen to be near a computer at live.twit.tv. And you can also join a chat room there or at irc.twit.tv. And I'm following the chat room now, and we're getting a lot of great input from the chat room, which Leo calls his brain, and I probably should too. and we got some links to the Monsoon DVR computer TV thing, and quite a few people are kind of poo-pooing it, so might be something to be a little careful about. Slingbox is universally liked, so I would say that's probably a better way to go. I mean, do your research, of course, you know, who knows.
Well, and I'd also, you know, buy it from somewhere that has a good return policy.
Yes.
Give it a try. If it doesn't work, you know, take it back or send it back.
Exactly. Okay, we got Steve in Laguna Hills with a 50-inch Pioneer. Hey, Steve.
Hi, I have a question. I have a 50-inch Pioneer Elite plasma that I bought about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, I mean, I guess at the time I bought it, it was like very, very expensive. Like
6 or 7 years ago, a plasma would have been, yeah.
Yeah, like $5,000. And,
mm-hmm.
And it still plays fine and everything. If I was to get another one, like for another room in my house or something, is there something comparable to this that they make now with this kind of quality?
Well, you're about a year too late, I'm afraid. Pioneer got out of the plasma business about a year ago, and they left on a high note, that's for sure. The latest generation of plasma TVs was, in my opinion, the best flat panel picture you could buy
ever. Yeah.
And still is. If you could find one, if some store still has a few in stock, you want to look for the generic name for it was Kuro, K-U-R-O, which is Japanese for black. And that was its claim to fame. It produced an incredible, deep, rich black. It was so beautiful. I have one. I got one of the last ones that I reviewed, and I just bought the review sample because I knew they were going out. For the last year, you know, I guess there have been a few left in a few stores, maybe hasn't sold out of them. Leo got one of the last ones. He got a 60-inch.
Yeah, that's what my mom got as well, the 60-inch, and she had to search far and wide, but got it, and the calibrated picture on that TV is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. The best plasma I think you can get today is Panasonic.
I agree.
I would say. Their high-end plasmas are looking pretty darn good. And you get 3D
yes.
as a bonus. So that's what I would recommend. If you're trying to get as close as you can to that Pioneer quality, and the one you have isn't a Kuro because it's too old, but nonetheless, that's probably going to be the way to go.
In fact, I was just doing research for a friend of mine who's looking to get a non-3D version, and you can get a G25 50-inch on Amazon for under $1,100.
Really?
Which is a screaming deal.
That is a screaming deal.
I mean, it's a great value.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a great value for your dollar.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's not
hey, listen, before... Sorry?
I have now, though, is it?
I'm sorry?
Will it be as good as the picture that I have now?
I would say so.
I would as well, because Pioneer went a long way in the, you know, 6-7 years from your TV. They kept improving.
Yeah.
And I would put the Pioneer probably 24 months behind where, or the Panasonic, about 24 months behind where the Pioneer is, their last one.
Right. So you'll get an improved picture. So I would say go for it. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, before we continue, let's hear from Leo about Nod 32.
Let me talk about the Nod 32 for Windows. I haven't talked about that in a while. ESET is the company. One of the, I would say, the premier antivirus company in the world. Now, you probably know about those other guys, because the other guys make the deals, and that's what comes on the computer and everything. Get rid of it, please. Get Nod 32. It is, first of all, it won't bog you down. Those other guys have put so much cruft in their software that just slows the thing down to molasses. It doesn't get in your way. It just gets in the virus's way, and that's why I love Nod 32. It detects every kind of beastie. Adware, phishing, scams, keystroke loggers, Trojan horses, worms, viruses, and even the very difficult to find and eliminate rootkit. It's got heuristics that watch your computer, and when virus-like activity happens, they nip it in the bud. It does not slow it down. It's just super effective. In fact, Nod 32 has not missed a virus in the wild, and that's key. There are synthetic antivirus tests, but what you want is an antivirus that won't miss a virus in the wild, a real virus. Hasn't missed a real virus, according to the virus bulletin, which does all these tests, so they're independent and very prestigious, in 10 years. That's pretty good. It's been a decade. Not a single in the wild virus. It's also CNET's editor's choice, 5 out of 5 stars. It's just the best. If you use Windows, you need Nod 32. Now, here's two ways you can try it free for 30 days. Go to eset.com/Leo. eset.com/Leo, or call them 866-935-ESET. If you use Windows, you need Nod 32. It's just as simple.
Hey, it's Scott Wilkinson here in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And we've got Mike from Jacksonville, Florida on the line right now. Hey, Mike.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Oh, doing just great. Trying to stay dry. I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, man. I feel for all you folks back east and the eastern half of the country, man. Wow. I wish I could ship my weather out to you, because we're looking outside at gorgeous weather. How can I help you?
I swapped from Comcast cable, the cable out of the wall into the TV to, I guess, like the AT&T U-verse, where you come through a box and you can record like four channels or four
right.
one time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to record the VCR tape. Now I can record to this box, but I can't put it on any media where I can take it with me. Do you know of anything I can do to transfer the disc to play in?
I've been thinking about this for a long time. There used to be TiVo-like DVRs that also had a DVD recorder built into them. Pioneer made one. I forget who else. Humax made one. And we're going to talk about that then, I guess, at the top of the hour. It's Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, 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 how you doing? This is Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy, as he enjoys a three-week cruise around South America with a bunch of techies. Meanwhile, here we are in lovely Petaluma, California, enjoying the weather that I bet the rest of the country wishes they had.
Definitely so.
I'm here with David Vaughn. He's a movie reviewer and equipment reviewer for my websites, ultimateavmag.com and hometheater.com. And we're just, you know, chatting about home theater, looking for calls about home theater. Got a bunch already, but if you care to call in, the number is 8888-ASK-LEO, which, of course, today is really Ask Scott. Now, last hour, we were talking with Mike in Jacksonville about recording off of a DVR, archiving onto DVD. Are you still there with us, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And we got cut off by the clock, unfortunately, but here we are back again. And I just wanted to finish up that call because it's really something I've thought a lot about. And that is, you used to record onto VHS. I did too. I archived a bunch of shows. I've got boxes of VHS tapes that are now totally gathering dust. And recording onto DVD, is a much better way to go. And as I said, I think before, they used to make devices, Panasonic did, Sony did, that had a hard disk drive, basically a DVR in there, and a DVD recorder that you could dump stuff from the hard disk, archive it onto a DVD. But I don't think they make those anymore. So the question now is, can you take a DVR and output its signal to a separate, a standalone DVD recorder? And the answer is maybe, but maybe not. David, you brought up during the break the whole issue of Macrovision copy protection.
Right. I'm not even sure if the UVerse boxes have an output on them. If they do, that may work. But if Macrovision's there, you end up getting a garbled picture, and that doesn't necessarily work.
Now, Mike, I've forgotten. Are you on UVerse, or how are you recording your shows on DVR?
On the UVerse box.
UVerse box. Do you know whether or not the UVerse box has any kind of video and audio output on it?
No, I don't. Now, the customer service rep told my wife, people have tried, you can get the sound, but you can't get a picture.
Yeah, that's probably because of what's called Macrovision copy protection. And so broadcasts use this to prevent just this exact sort of thing from happening. Now, Leo, of course, just rails against copy protection, thinks that the broadcasters and the movie companies and studios and everybody think that we're all thieves for wanting to make copies of our programs. You know, I would like to make copies of my programs too. On the other hand, as a content producer myself, I'm a musician and a recording musician. You know, I also want to protect my copyrighted material. So I'm not as vehemently opposed to copy protection as Leo is, at least as far as I can tell. So there may be really no way to do it. David had a great suggestion during the break, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, you could go the Slingbox route, and if you have a computer, you take it on the road, but you need high-speed access at both ends of the equation in order to get the signal through.
Right.
I thought the chat room had an idea as well.
Well, there's one just coming up in the chat room now from JP Clark, says you can get DVR recorder combos, but they're designed for security systems, not for home use.
Right.
So I'll bet you they won't be high def. Well, you couldn't put high def on a DVD anyway. So, well, you could, but you wouldn't be able to put
not very much.
Yeah, right.
A few minutes worth.
Right. Exactly. So, I don't think there is not an easy solution to that. I'm sorry to say.
Humax still has a website, and you're still able to get. Leo talked about it last week, I guess, where you can record the box for Humax, and then it's got a burner on it also.
That's right. Correct. I do know that Humax used to make such a thing. I haven't been in touch with Humax in a long time. If they still make it and it's available on their website, then that's clearly the way to go.
Now, would I have to get rid of my AT&T UVerse box, or would that go in before or after? How would I?
Well, you'd have to kind of run them parallel, I think. If the UVerse box doesn't have any outputs, which I don't know if it does, then yeah, you're kind of stuck, and you could only record probably standard definition programs.
Well, now that I think about it, the UVerse box has to have outputs on it because the coax comes into it, and then the signal goes out to the television one way, either HDMI or component or composite. But it would not surprise me if they have a way to shut that video off because they don't want people recording
making those DVDs, because then, as Leo says, you'll put a blanket out on your lawn and you'll sell them to your neighbors. I'm not gonna do that. That's for sure. Anyway, so I would look at the Humax and maybe run it in a parallel fashion. Maybe you can record stuff off the air, maybe from cable, depending on how it's set up. But that might be one way to go, or just get a sling box and be able to watch it wherever you want, as long as you have high speed internet access.
Okay, so, but I'd have to have that hooked into my computer also then, right?
No, the sling box goes in between the TV or the UVerse box and your television, and then it would go, if you have a network in your house, then that would hook up to the network in your house. Then when you're on the road, you log into the sling box and you're able to watch whatever you have there.
Okay.
So slingbox.com is, I believe, their website.
I think so. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
Mike, hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, we got Jack in Orange, California, who wants to buy an Oppo Blu-ray player. Now, David and I both have a lot to say about Oppo. So, hey, Jack, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, and I thank you so much for taking my call. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks.
Interestingly enough, I also have a 60-inch Pioneer Curl.
Yay!
Well, I was one of the first ones to get one. I saw it at the CES show. I waited till it came out, and I jumped. I got it. I love it.
Excellent.
3 years later, I love it.
Yep. Yep.
I did not buy the Oppo 85 because
83 actually.
I beg your pardon, 83, because it did not have the network Netflix or Pandora, anything on it. So I bought a pretty lousy other Blu-ray player, a Samsung. I'm not very happy with it. The picture quality is good, but it does a lot of other cheesy things I don't like. And everything I read about the Oppo is that I got to go, and I wanted your opinion of the new one. Is it the 93?
Yeah. Now, David's got one in for review, so I'm going to let him take this one.
I've had it since early November. It's virtually identical to the 83. It does 3D, although you probably aren't going to be using that function. The streaming it offers Netflix and Blockbuster.com, which I like Netflix. I'm not a big fan of Blockbuster. The Netflix interface, though, is the rudimentary interface, and you can only get stereo audio, so you won't get 5.1 audio from your Netflix feed. That may change. There's nobody can confirm or deny this, but there's rumors that Sony PS3 has an exclusive on that right now. But the interface on the PS3 is starting to roll out to will start to roll out to other devices with search functions and all that. Right now on the Oppo, you have to have a computer in order to add things to your queue. Quality wise, it's fine. The player is a Blu-ray player, is phenomenal.
Does it load pretty fast?
Load times are on par with the 83, which were very good, rivaled the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend the player. You know, there are other players that are cheaper that are almost as good, but the one thing about Oppo is if there's a problem disc with copy protection that we were talking about before,
right,
they will generally have a fix out within 48 hours.
Exactly.
Fabulous.
Very good.
I'm going to order one. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks.
This is Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy, this weekend. And we're having a great time here talking about home theater. Got a lot of calls lined up. I'm here with David Vaughn, the movie reviewer on my website, ultimateavmag.com and hometheater.com. He also does reviews of products there, home theater products, projectors, Blu-ray players, receivers. If you've got a question for us, the number is 8888-ASK-LEO. And anything we talk about today will get posted on techguylabs.com in the show notes for this episode, which is number 741. Yeah, that's it. And anything you hear that you want to catch again or didn't quite get marked down, maybe you're driving, please don't write while you're driving or text. Then just go to techguylabs.com for the show notes for episode 741. So, let's see here. We've got, Steve in Quartz Hill, California. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Hi, I'm a teacher and they installed an interactive whiteboard in my classroom. It uses a ceiling mounted Epson projector. And, it's been in there for about 2 years. Now at the beginning, it was a very, very bright, crisp looking picture. And now over time, it seems to have become kind of dull, and it's not quite as bright. I'm having to close all the blinds. My classroom has turned the lights off so we can see it. Is there something I can do to make the projector project a brighter picture?
Absolutely. Replace the bulb.
Well, you know, I've replaced it once, and, you know, that, these things cost $300.
Yes, and that and is a problem. How long ago did you replace it?
Oh, this probably has 300 hours on this one.
Oh, well, did it dim down from when you first replaced it to currently semi-unacceptable levels in only 300 hours?
Yeah, that's surprising. And we only got 1,200 on the first bulb, where the projector was supposed to get close to 1,600 hours on it. And I am using it the highest intensity setting.
Yeah, that's going to burn it out faster. That's true.
That will do it. The other thing is, did you get the bulb from Epson, or was it an aftermarket bulb?
Well, the school only buys, you know, manufacturer names, so it's probably an Epson bulb.
Oh, it only buys manufacturer things, so it should be an Epson bulb.
Yeah, if it's an Epson, generally, the aftermarket bulbs don't last as long, and they're a little bit cheaper, and that's why. Boy, if it's an Epson bulb, 300 hours really isn't that long.
No, I agree.
I've got...
Well, every classroom has a dust problem. I'm trying to keep the filter clean, but is there any mechanism inside that could collect dust that would inhibit, you know, a crisp projection?
Depends on the light path.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're keeping the filter clean and replacing it regularly, I don't see where that would really be too much of a problem.
Oh. Okay.
Now, do you have the iris, the projector's iris, opened all the way?
Right. Yeah, it does.
That's one thing you should do.
As far as I know, it's open. I haven't, you know, the tech set it for focus, and, you know, I just use the on-screen menu to focus it or, move it back and forth and, you know, change whatever the...
But, you know, David and I, our first thought was, you know, change the bulb, but if it's only 300 years old, 300 years. 300 years old. Hey man, yeah, like, 300 like, years old. You're doing really good. 300 yeah. hours old. Then it shouldn't be a serious problem. And I know they're expensive,
especially for the schools.
Let me ask you: what lumens number would you recommend for a classroom setting that I could operate with the lights on rather than having to turn the lights off and close it? Close curtain.
Well, as bright as possible.
Yeah, and when you get into those, the unit that I've seen, I have kids that are in school, and the units they have in their rooms are generally pretty small. They're business projectors, small business projectors, and generally the large lumen projectors are not tiny. They're big units.
Do you know the model number of this projector by any chance?
I'm not in my class, right? I think it's like 1363 or something like that. I mean, it's bigger than one of those little small things, you know, because it is ceiling mounted. And it takes a 300-watt bulb.
What kind of screen are you shooting onto?
It's an interactive whiteboard, smart board.
And the thing's shooting onto this whiteboard?
Yeah, it shoots onto that. The whiteboard is connected to my laptop, and you know, basically, it's like a touch screen there, but it's projected. The image is
kind of cool.
The projector. Well, yeah, it is really cool. But I, you know, now I'm getting running into a problem. Right now, we have to operate with the lights off, and all of our calculators we're using are solar operated.
Oh no!
So,
oh man,
creates a bit of a problem here. You know.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Well, I honestly don't know because, you know, if it's not the bulb, then I couldn't tell you. I don't think the dust is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, the only other option would be to check with Epson to see if they will collect dust somewhere else. I know the JVC projector I have, you would get a haze inside the optical block, and you had to go in there with a microfiber cloth to clean it.
Mm.
And it raised brightness significantly by about 30% on an old bulb. So
maybe that you could do that in the projector.
But I would be afraid going in there and opening it up without knowing exactly, you know, what's in there.
Yeah, okay. I'd call Epson. Generally speaking, I love Epson projectors, home theater projectors anyway. I don't have much experience with business projectors, but home theater projectors are really, really great. And they do a great job, and they're good support too. So I wouldn't imagine you'd have any problems getting support from them.
All right, well, I'll give them a call. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, we got Bill from Pasadena. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How can we help you?
Well, I have an aging Carver AV receiver, and one channel is kind of going out. So I'm thinking, well. Mm-hmm. I want to replace it because I don't know of any fix-it shop I could take it to.
No, so it wouldn't be worth it probably anyway.
Yeah. I'm considering one of the new Marantz. I see that they've come out with kind of like slimline receivers like the NR1501 and stuff. I was wondering if you're familiar with those. They don't have such a big profile as a lot of these regular Denons or Sonys or something. So I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I know that Marantz is a pretty good name. However, they have like really high end stuff, but how is their kind of mid range? I'm getting conflicting reviews on Amazon. Some people say it's not that good for music. Other people just praise it. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, I can't say I have any direct experience with the Marantz Slimline. I do know that virtually all the reviews of Marantz receivers we have published have been exceptionally good. Just great. So I wouldn't have much problem recommending it. Now, not having seen or heard this particular model, I couldn't say for sure, but I have great faith in Marantz as a company and as a producer of AV receivers.
And they sound wonderful.
They really do. They really
the amplifiers
do.
That they use are very high quality, very transparent, and definitely would recommend the company themselves.
How about a inexpensive but not super cheap Blu-ray player that's not an Oppo? Or is that the only way you would go?
Panasonic.
Yep.
Panasonic. Hey, this is Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy, back after this. Theater geek in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. This portion of the Tech Guy show is brought to you by DSL Extreme, Leo's internet service provider. So for a great internet service at an amazing price, it's DSL Extreme. Okay, let's see. Oh, I got a great call here from Jerry in Toronto. How you doing, Jerry?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great. How about you?
Oh, well, snowing cold up here in Toronto. Oh, but
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, well, my question has to do with the Mitsubishi
unison line. Basically, mm-hmm. Mitsubishi is trying to put out the best sound television in the world, and I was wondering what you think of that idea and of the units themselves.
Yes, I have actually had some experience with the Unison LCD TVs. That's UNISEN, I believe. And they're LCD flat panel TVs, and they have an integrated sound bar with something like 18 speakers in it, something huge. And I have to say that it is the best onboard TV sound I've ever heard. It really is very good. The problem is it's not the best picture I've ever seen. It's not bad, but it's you know, not up there with the best picture quality. But the sound is fantastic. We were talking on the break about the smaller the TV you get, sometimes the funkier the sound, particularly, David, you were mentioning that the small TVs often put the speakers on the back.
Right.
And then, you know, reflect it off the wall behind, which isn't a very good idea if you've wall-mounted the TV.
Right.
Samsung does that with all their TVs. And even though they make a fabulous-looking TV, I mean, the picture looks great, but the sound is coming off the back, and it really is one of the least good sounds coming from the TV itself, which is why I recommend using a external surround sound system with it.
Definitely.
Mitsubishi went the other way. They decided to put a nice sound bar integrated into the TV, and it really does sound great. It's got simulated surround, you know, so it, and the frequency response is far better than you get on most TVs. So that really is, if the sound is really important to you, then I would say the Unison is a good choice. I haven't done a review of one lately. I should, because I want to see if their picture quality has improved. If it has, I don't even remember now if they're doing LED illumination. If they are, then the picture quality probably has improved, and that would make it a really, really nice TV all the way around, especially for like a bedroom situation where you don't want to have an external surround system around you. You just want to be able to hear the sound from the TV and hear a good quality of sound. So, in that respect, I really do like the Unisons.
Yeah, that's exactly my idea, is that I don't want any junk hanging around. I prefer just to have all the sound in the television. And they make a 40-inch, and usually the smaller the TV, the better the picture. So I'll look at the 40-inch model.
Well, the smaller the TV, the better the picture. Yes, in certain yes. Certainly it will look sharper, generally speaking.
Hide some of the flaws.
And hide some of the flaws, exactly. On the other hand, I have to tell you that HDTV looks so good when it's big and it's immersive. You know, why do you go to the movies? You know, you go to the movies to be immersed in a story, and that screen is so huge. And I, you know, a home theater, really, you want to replicate that experience at home. And I know that most people buy a TV that's too small and they sit too far away, you know? And so, and then they get disappointed. And I think this is one reason why you get a lot of returns on TVs. So, you know, yes, it's true. The smaller picture you will be able to see fewer flaws, but you also won't be immersed in the story. So if you get a good TV that's a large size, you won't have that problem, and you'll be ready for that immersion.
I guess the smartest thing to do is just wait for your review.
Well, of course. I'll be looking into that. And you've reminded me that I should contact Mitsubishi and get one of those Unisons in for review. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
Okay, we got... Sorry?
4:30 Eastern on Mondays. I'm glued to my computer that time every day.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. He's listening to my podcast, Home Theater Geeks, on which I... interview different guests every week, 4:30 Eastern Time, 1:30 Pacific Time, at live.twit.tv. And you can get the podcast afterwards on twit.tv/HTG. The guest this week, by the way, David, is Steve Guttenberg, who's a very well-known audiophile journalist. And we're going to be talking all things audio, including some very interesting perspectives on his part. So I'll just give you that little teaser.
The first time you referenced him on UAV, I thought, Steve Guttenberg, isn't he an actor? I didn't realize who you're talking about.
Right, exactly. Same spelling, but he pronounces it a little different.
Yeah.
Anyway, he knows his stuff. He's not the actor, but he really knows his audio stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's coming up on Monday. But right now, we have Daniel on from Pasadena. Hey, Daniel.
Hi there. How you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
Oh, good. I wanted to ask you your input about two different receivers I was considering that are AV receivers. One is an Onkyo TX-NR808, mm-hmm. which is a GUI type of interface that you can look at on your screen, and it also has an HD radio capability if you add an additional module, and it has internet radio capability.
Mm-hmm.
And then versus the Pioneer VSX 1020, which gets good reviews and has a GUI too, and both have Odyssey EQ capability.
Boy, that's a tough question. They're both great.
They both are good. Both good companies.
Yeah, excellent companies. Odyssey is an excellent auto setup routine. Do you happen to know? I don't remember whether one of them is... Odyssey has several different kinds of setup routines. One is called 2EQ, and one is called Mult-EQ. Do you happen to know which of those?
Why, I looked up the specs on the NR, the Onkyo, and it says Odyssey DSX-4.
Ah, DSX. Okay, well, that's somewhat different. That is a situation where...
Oh, that's the processing. I'm sorry.
That's the processing where you can put height speakers. You can actually put speakers up higher on your front wall to give you more of a three-dimensional sound field. You can also put what are called wide speakers or width speakers out beyond the standard front, right, and left to, again, give you a more cohesive sound field.
With one caveat, yeah. If your wife will let you.
Also, I live in a smaller condo, so if we don't want to wake the neighbor up, right?
Well, there's that, too. So if you don't have the room or the spousal acceptance factor is of concern, DSX might not be important for you. Both products, the Onkyo and the Pioneer, produce excellent sound. So I don't think you can go wrong either way. I prefer the Odyssey Mult EQ auto setup routine, which basically plays a bunch of test signals.
I believe the 808 has that. Is the 808, I think the MSRP is around $500 for that. Am I correct?
I think it's like $600 or $700 or something.
Okay,
like that.
So that's their upgraded one.
What about
I just
the Pioneer?
Put in...
It's 135 watts a channel, and it has high current capability.
Mm. You know, you wouldn't go wrong either way, honestly.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, flip a coin.
So reliability and all that, it's probably about the same?
About the same. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And is there anything else that, I guess they're all somewhat problematic with regard to the owner's manual, trying to understand what to do.
Well, yeah.
Yes, and that would be one knock against Pioneer. Their manuals are footnoted way too often, the ones I've reviewed. I've set up Onkyos, multiple Onkyos. I've used Onkyos products over the years. They're easy to set up. I mean, they aren't real hard, real difficult to do.
And just,
yeah, but it is getting through that English translated from the Japanese that can be a problem.
I see. Just one other thing, if I could ask you, I read somewhere that
unfortunately, can you hang on 1 second?
Thank you.
We got to take a break right now. I'm Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We have a little bit to go with the last caller. Daniel had one more question for us.
Thank you for coming back. Do you think it's worthwhile to get the HD radio additional accessory for the Onkyo? Is HD radio worth it in your estimation?
Well, David, what do you think? You're shaking your head.
Boy, with Pandora and so many online content. I had HD radio on a pre-pro that I owned for 3 years, and I used it when I was reviewing the unit, and I think I used it once after that in the 3 years that I had it. So it depends on how much you listen to radio. It is clear. It is CD quality audio, but it depends on how often you listen to the radio, you know, sitting on your couch.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your expertise and your help.
Hey, you bet, Daniel. Thanks so much. You know, we've been getting a bunch of comments in the chat room about all sorts of things. Many congratulations on my first shot at hosting the show here, which I appreciate so very much. And David Vaughn, our movie reviewer and equipment reviewer on ultimateavmag.com and hometheater.com, is joining me all day today. And I sure appreciate you being here.
I'm glad to be here.
And one of the things that we got a question about was the best 60-inch LCD, LED TV for online content. And I have to say that this whole online content thing is very interesting because each manufacturer only gives you access to the content from the providers that they've developed a partnership with. So it's not everybody.
Right.
You know, you can't get everything on any device.
Except Netflix.
Right.
Netflix is pretty everywhere, universal. Even on like toaster ovens, refrigerators. it's crazy.
We actually saw some refrigerators at CES. Anyway, yes. So Netflix is pretty universal. YouTube is pretty universal. It'd be okay to watch YouTube. It look pretty bad on a big screen.
The problem I have with YouTube on the couch, one, it looks bad on a big screen. Yeah. And two, it's poor from a finding content. My daughter wanted to watch a Taylor Swift video. Mm-hmm. And so I typed in Taylor Swift on the, you know, the clunky keyboard that really isn't a keyboard because you're using, you know, up, down, over, right, all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And we got something like 16,000 hits for Taylor Swift.
Oh, man.
And not one of them was Taylor Swift. It was all parody videos. So we didn't get what we were looking for. A couple of them were pretty funny, though. But
yeah, right.
But I'm not a big YouTube guy.
No, I'm not either, really.
You know, the online content, I just did an article that will be in next month's issue of Home Theater. At least I think it's next month, maybe 2 months from now. Because the lag with print.
Yeah, I never can remember.
Looking at all the services, I'm a big fan of Netflix for it's the best value, I think, convenience-wise.
$8 or $9 a month for as much as you want.
Exactly.
Now, do they have a lot of content to stream?
Yes, they do. They wouldn't give me an exact number, but it's in the tens of thousands of shows.
And some
of them
includes movies and TV shows.
Movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm.
High def?
Some are in high def, although their high def is not as good as Vudu, which is my favorite quality service. Mm-hmm. They're a pay-per-view type of service that
Vudu.
Yeah. They were bought by Walmart last year, so they have staying power. They're going to be around for a while.
Sure. And there's Vudu HDX, which is
1080p video and Dolby Digital Plus 5.1.
Nice.
And even on my front projector setup, it looks very good. And on a 50-inch plasma, I would be hard-pressed to tell the difference between Blu-ray on a smaller screen. That's how good it is.
Wow.
Then you have, you know, Hulu Plus, if you're a big TV watcher. And the good thing about that, 24 hours after a show is on, you can watch it.
Uh-huh.
The biggest downfall that I see with streaming, you still can't cut the cable cord if you want your local news or if you want sports. Sports programming, MLB, NHL, they have their online content, but they black out your local broadcast. So if, you know, for me here, San Francisco Giants fan, can't get any of their content, home or away games. They block them both out. So
wow. Now you can get local news over the air, of course.
Correct.
Put an antenna up on your roof and you can get
if your
that.
CCNRs allow it.
Right. Right. Exactly right. What about Roku? That was the other thing I was going to ask you about. We've gotten some questions in the chat room about that.
I have not used a Roku. I've heard very good things about it. I know you had a podcast guest that didn't like it. A friend of mine has it, and I pointed him to that, and he said she had to have a bad box because he swears by it.
Yeah, my podcast guest, Barb Gonzalez, writes a lot about online content at about.com, and she was one of the very few people who said she did not have a good experience with Roku. And we got a lot of email about that saying, what are you talking about? It was great. So, you know, she might've gotten a bad box. It's possible, but she can only write about what she experiences. Right. And I think she tried to talk to them about that and they didn't get very far.
Yeah.
So.
Roku promised to send me a box, but, it hasn't arrived yet. And my article's already done. I wanted to have a box for the review,
right.
But I just basically eliminated, the hardware out of it. Your other option, you know, Apple TV.
Right.
If you're a fan of their ecosystem, mm-hmm. I mean, they do, I mean, everything they make seems to be pretty user-friendly. So
yeah, exactly right.
You know, that's another option.
That's another option. Absolutely. Okay, let's get back to the phones. We have James in Costa Mesa with a problem that I have certainly heard about. Hey, James.
Hi, James in sunny Costa Mesa.
Ah, lovely Costa Mesa.
Beautiful area.
Yeah.
How can we help you?
I've got the green blob problem on about a 2 year.
Oh, the green blob problem.
And it sounds like it's generic. Kind of like a Toyota problem, although it hasn't killed it.
Well, that Toyota problem, there's some question about that. We won't go there, but the Sony rear projection TV green blob problem is very well known, very documented. You must have had this TV for a while.
About 2 years, but the question is, what can I do to get something out of it?
Well, not much, I'm afraid. It's as far as I've been able to determine. It's a problem with the SXRD panels. Now, Sony rear projection TVs did not use DLP, as most other rear projection TVs did.
Right.
It uses a variation of what's called LCOS, liquid crystal on silicon, which they call SXRD.
And that has gone south, huh?
I'm sorry?
And that part has gone south, huh?
That's what the my general impression is that part has gone south. The panel that actually creates the image has gone south and created the green blob problem. And aside from replacing those panels, I'm not sure that there's much you can do about it.
That would be cost prohibitive. Wouldn't be worthwhile messing with, probably, huh?
Right, so.
I know some people have gone to Sony and have written letters or have gotten to higher versions of their customer service and have gotten some type of resolution from
really?
It. Either they come out, they'll send a repair guy out to try and fix it, although those don't generally go well.
Yeah.
Or they'll give you a substantial discount on a television.
Right.
But again, I've read these on the internet, and you don't know if everything you read is true.
That's for sure. I do have to say that the Sony SXRD rear projectors that I've reviewed, and I reviewed the very last one, it was the A3000. Was a gorgeous picture, just beautiful. I did not have the green blob problem, but then again, as a reviewer, I don't get to keep these TVs for a long period of time. So I didn't experience the Panasonic black level problem either, for example, which people started complaining about. But reviewers, we get a new TV in, we set it up, we use it for a month, we pack it up, we ship it back. So we didn't have it running for long enough to get the black level problem. Similarly, we didn't run the Sony long enough to get the green blob problem. And it's not universal. It doesn't always happen. Mm. So anyway, that's the answer to that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, couldn't be more help. You know, before we go on, we've got something to hear from Leo. Oh, I guess we don't have something to hear from Leo. I was told we had something to hear from Leo, so hopefully he'll be back with us momentarily. So anyway, okay, well, let's go for another call. Debbie in Fallbrook, California. Hey, Debbie.
We bought a 55-inch Vizio Razer LED HD TV in August.
Yeah. Love
the TV. It's got a gorgeous picture. But in November, out of the blue, it started doing something really weird. When we turn it on, it's got a frozen picture that you can't really see, that's pixelated and broken up. The TV turns itself off if you just leave it alone, and the Vizio symbol blinks on and off, and then after a while the TV turns itself back on, and when we're lucky it comes back on with a picture that's working. Sometimes it doesn't and we have to shut it down and start over.
I'm afraid I've got to wait to answer that question. This is Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll be right back. Hey, 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 it's Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy, who's on a three-week cruise. And while he's gone, we get to play and talk all about home theater. I'm here in the Twit Cottage with my good friend David Vaughn, a movie reviewer and product reviewer for UltimateAVMag.com and HomeTheater.com. And we're taking your calls and talking about home theater, really geeking out. The number to call if you want to try and get in here is 8888-ASK-LEO. And, of course, you can check out the show notes on TechGuyLabs.com. So we just started to get an answer to, well, actually, I don't have much of an answer to that last caller. Debbie, is she still on the line?
Yes.
Debbie, you still with us? Yeah. So you brought a bought a brand new Vizio, and now the picture is looking funky.
Well, when it's turned on, it really has no picture, and the TV shuts itself off automatically and blinks, you know, the on light blinks on and off. Then it turns itself back on, and when we're lucky, a normal picture comes up. But sometimes it doesn't, and we have to shut it back down and try to go through the process again with it. And we're just wondering if this is a fatal flaw, and if we're...
It sounds pretty fatal to me. David, you agree?
Oh, definitely. Where did you buy it from?
Bought it at Costco.
Take it back.
Yep.
They have a, I believe...
90 what, days.
90 days. Don't they offer two-year extended service if you buy it on their American Express card?
That's what we did, and I believe we have to still deal directly with Vizio, and before I started that process, that's why I was calling.
Yeah, call Vizio. They're a stand-up company.
They really are. I agree completely.
They should be able to take care of you.
Yeah, but that's clearly a defective unit.
Okay. Either that or it's possessed. One of the two.
We just saw the movie yesterday that can fix that, so we'll...
Oh, which one is that?
The Right. Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, Anthony Hopkins. What'd you think?
It was excellent. Really enjoyed it. Wasn't disappointed at all. It was really well done.
Excellent. Good. Well, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I got to tell you, I, as you know, and probably some listeners probably already know, my taste in movies is pretty limited. And I will admit that up front, that, you know, a movie like The Right, you know, which is scary and, you know, demonic and whatever, no interest to me at all. Your taste, fortunately, is much broader than mine.
I do have a broader taste. I don't like slasher movies, just blood for blood's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't watch movies like Saw.
Right.
Saw 47 or whatever number they're
wherever
on
they
now.
Wherever they are now, yeah.
You know, I like comedies. I like dramas. I like sci-fi. I mean, that's one area where you and I can definitely...
Absolutely.
Talk about, I like foreign movies. I've gotten more and more into foreign movies the last 10 years because, frankly, most of them have been better than American movies. But, you know, one good thing about being a movie reviewer, sometimes you watch a movie you didn't really want to watch because you had to,
mm-hmm.
and you end up liking it.
Right.
You know?
So you see something more than you might otherwise.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
A wider palette. Now, my wife's palette, there are times where she says, I'm not watching that with you. And she just doesn't watch. So,
right.
But you know,
That's all right.
It's fun. I enjoy doing it.
Now, the good news is that you recently upgraded your projector to the JVC DLA RS40, which is their low end 3D capable projector. And I know you were pretty resistant to 3D there for a while, weren't you?
Oh yeah. as I said, I didn't want to get 3D. The only movie I've liked in 3D is Avatar in the theater, and I didn't want to spend all the money on the glasses at, you know, $160 a pop,
mm-hmm.
times four for everybody in the family. But my wife and I discussed it and we compromised. And so we got the glasses. And so, we get the glasses, we pop in our first movie and I'm blown away at how good it looks.
Wow.
Every movie, I think I've reviewed half a dozen of them the last month or so. And, it's much better than the theater. It's brighter. Very minimal crosstalk, very minimal ghosting. That's really dependent upon the movie and I think on how it's encoded.
Mm-hmm.
And it adds something there. I mean, Despicable Me is my favorite one. The roller coaster scene from that movie is great in 3D.
Now, do you suffer from 3D sickness?
I No, I don't. My son has in the past, but he hasn't had any problems at home. So it could just
only
be
only in the movie theater.
Only in the movie theater. Could just be the way it's done there.
Now, that's very interesting because one of the poll questions that I ran recently on ultimateavmag.com was, do you suffer from 3D sickness? And I offered several choices. One was never. And that's what I answered because I never have had 3D sickness, which is, by the way, for those who might not be familiar with that term, you go into a 3D movie or you watch a 3D TV and you feel eye strain, a headache, even nausea, dizziness. I mean, the manufacturers even put on warnings about nausea and seizures. So, you know, you got to be a little careful about that. So he feels it in the theater, but not at home.
Right.
So that's pretty interesting. We're going to get back to this discussion of this and all things home theater in just a moment. But first, we want to hear from Leo Laporte about Carbonite.
Have you ever left a laptop on a park bench? If you have, and you know what? Something like 300,000 laptops are left behind in airports every year. I mean, it's a huge number. They're never returned. People lose their laptops. And think of what's on that laptop, all the precious stuff, your pictures, your financial records, your documents, your data. Or maybe you got a virus or a hard drive crash. I mean, data loss happens. That's why backup's so important. And if you're going to back up, you need to know three things. Actually, three words. Carbonite, online, backup. Carbonite's easy. You can get started right now at carbonite.com. Just use my name, Leo. Carbonite is automatic. Your pictures will be backed up whenever you're online and your other important files. And Carbonite, and this is, I don't talk about this enough, gives you anywhere, anytime access to that data. You don't have to wait till disaster strikes by logging into your Carbonite account or using their free smartphone apps. So get Carbonite today before you need it, because afterwards it's too late. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac is $55 a year at Carbonite.com. Your 15-day free trial starts at Carbonite.com when you use the offer code Leo if you decide to buy 2 months free. Get back it up to get it back at Carbonite.com. Offer code Leo.
Thanks, Leo. Now we're back, and we're going to talk to Mike in Anaheim, who has a suggestion about the Sony green blob problem that we talked about last hour. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just wanted to let you know that that's actually a known problem with Sony. It's actually under recall. I had that same problem last week and called them up, and they're sending me a new TV for about $225 and getting a 55-inch LED. So.
Oh, beauty.
Wow. Congratulations.
Wow, that's great.
I was a little bit... in the recall, but you know, Sony is taking care of me, so you know, I can pay $225 for an LED.
I would say so. 55 inch, absolutely, that's great.
55 equivalent in the SXRD model, so they offered me two, that or a 46 inch 3D model for like $450, but I wasn't ready to go 3D for all the other expenses you just talked about. But
right, exactly. No, I would definitely go with a larger 2D TV. That's the other thing about 3D, of course, is that you need a really big picture in order to make it effective.
Yeah, that's been my knock in the stores. Going to the stores, looking at the different 3D technologies, and it looks fine when you're 2 feet away. But if you're 8 feet away sitting on a couch, you don't get the immersion that you get. You know, my screen at home is 88 inches, so
right.
You definitely get the immersion.
And how far away are you sitting?
About 9 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. Very good. We also got in the chat room a number for calling. If you have a Sony SXRD rear projection TV with this green blob problem, you can call Sony at 888-993-7669. And they do have a class action lawsuit against them. So this is a real problem and something that you will want to definitely deal with. So here we come up to our first break of the hour. This is Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's the Tech Guy program with Leo Laporte, except when it's not, which is today. I'm Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, and we're taking calls about home theater and chatting about this and that. Wanted to What were we going to talk about?
Movies.
Oh, movies, of course. What else? Oh, and Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Very important. The upcoming, finally, they're going to release Star Wars on Blu-ray. All six movies?
All six movies, of course, in a box set, because George Lucas loves making money off of us.
Of course.
I can't count how many times I've bought Star Wars on VHS, DVD, now Blu-ray.
Yes.
Although I did hold off on the last releases of them.
Well, you get them now because you review them. So.
Yeah. So the thing I'm most looking forward to, and this is going to sound very selfish of me, I'm hoping Lucas does a big press event like they did for Clone Wars, mm-hmm. where I got to visit Red Rock Ranch, which is where their animation studio is.
Right. Next door to
Skywalker. Next door to Skywalker Ranch. And if they do a big press event for the release of Star Wars like they did on DVD, it will be at Skywalker Ranch. And I will be there.
Yes.
Cross my fingers.
Yes. I'm angling for that same invite.
Yes, definitely so.
I was fortunate enough, I got to actually stay on the ranch one night a couple years ago.
Wow.
They have a little hotel called The Inn, and they had some big press event, and they brought a bunch of press people in, and I actually got to stay there, and it was wonderful. The place is phenomenal.
Yeah, I look forward to visiting there. I've been to their studio, the Presidio. Mm-hmm. Chris and their PR department was nice enough to give myself and my family a tour. So a lot of movie memorabilia there. And they have Jar Jar Binks and Carbonite, which is hilarious.
And he deserves it, too.
But it was, I mean, as a movie fan, just seeing all the different movie props that were in there was great. Was great. So.
Yeah, so we're sure looking forward to that. That's coming out in September.
September, right? Late September. I believe the date's the 27th. They're going to have new... some new special features never before seen, which I find hard to believe because the DVD set was pretty darn extensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to the movies. I mean, I'm partial to the second, you know, the first trilogy, which is the second trilogy, however you want to
describe it. Episodes 4, 5, and 6.
4, 5, and 6.
I am too. Absolutely.
You know, my birthday is May 25th, and Star Wars came out on my 8th birthday. So I was destined to love Star Wars. And
did your parents take you to see it on your birthday?
Actually, it wasn't available. I lived in Modesto at the time, and it wasn't available until 2 weeks after release. Mm. But we saw it on premiere night in Modesto, where Lucas, you know, grew up.
Right.
And I still remember, I was 8 years old. You don't generally remember things when you're 8 years old, but when that Star Destroyer came over, my jaw dropped, and I was in love with the franchise from that point forward. I think I've read every book, seen every movie.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, let's get back to the phones here. We have Don in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Don.
Hello.
What can we help you with?
Yes, I'm building a new house, and I was originally going to put a Rust Sound system in for whole house audio with intercom.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been looking at Control 4
because
I would also like whole house video.
But I think Control 4 is very well regarded. I don't have any experience with it myself, but I know a lot of people who think very highly of it and people I respect and trust. So. And it's certainly a lot less expensive than the premier home automation systems from AMX and Crestron, which are great, but they're very expensive and they require a lot of programming. I don't know how much programming Control 4 requires. Do you have any experience with that, David?
I don't. This is probably my weakest area because I've never done an installation for one or seen an installation. So without firsthand knowledge, everything I go on is from what I've read, and I've read a lot of good things about Control 4 as well.
Yeah. Now, Rust Sound, there's nothing wrong with Rust Sound either. They use this thing called A-Bus, I think it's called, to distribute audio over Cat 5. Denon and Marantz also have audio distribution recently set up. I don't know if they do video either. Control 4 would be a perfectly fine way to go. I don't see any reason not to.
Okay. Very good. What about
Alrighty.
Nuvo or...
Nuvo is a... I don't know how much of a home automation system that is. I know they have a universal remote, as does a universal remote control. Logitech Harmony is my favorite one. But those are universal remote controls, not a really an audio video distribution system or a whole house automation system. So I would say, you know, Control 4 is probably a good way to go.
Very good. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. So let's see. Mark in Charlotte, North Carolina. Your turn. How you doing?
Doing great, Scott. Doing a great job on the show today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
What my question is that I got a new Sony TV. It's a 55-inch 8X800 3D TV for Christmas, and I've gotten the DirecTV service, and what the problem I'm having conflicting issues as for broadcasting the 3D image. DirecTV's got a 24-hour channel that is broadcasting 3D every day, mm-hmm. and it's broadcasting 1080i according to my TV and according to the box. But right. when it goes to the 720p broadcast on the ESPN special 3D broadcasting channel, that I completely lose the 720p broadcast. It says my TV's not capable of playing back the native resolution in 3D. So that's the problem.
Isn't that interesting? David Vaughn here has had a similar experience. What do you got to say about that?
I haven't had the firsthand experience, but on ABS forums, there's a lot of people talking about this exact issue with the JVC projectors from DirecTV, from ESPN 3D. Supposedly, DirecTV is sending out an incompatible signal, and it's confusing the televisions. People have found workarounds by plugging them into an old AVR that's not 3D compatible, and then plugging it into back into the projector, and that's getting it to work.
What?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Very, very strange.
How weird.
But I would call DirecTV, let them know you're having a problem, because they were trying to pass it off as just a JVC problem, but it's sounding like it's more widespread because they're doing something with the JVC or with the ESPN signal.
Right. ESPN and Fox are 720p. ESPN is in, they have a 3D, 24-hour 3D channel now, don't they?
ESPN is going to go 3D 24 hours later this month.
Right. And DirecTV, of course, is in partnership with Sony and IMAX, I think. No, is that Dish Network or DirecTV? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
So we are getting some more 3D channels now, finally. And I had not heard of that problem before, but during a break, you mentioned to me that you were having the same problem with JVC that he was having with Sony. But it's not your TV, so don't return the TV. There's no need to do that. Hopefully, DirecTV will take care of that when the time
called
comes.
Them up. They said that it's capable of playing all the standards for 3D broadcasting, and then I went back to DirecTV, and they said that your TV's not capable of playing that. Well, I said I just got off the phone with Sony, and it's kind of like ping pong, back and forth.
I'm afraid so.
Ask for a higher level of support at DirecTV.
Absolutely. Ask for the guy's supervisor.
Yeah.
And this is Scott Wilkinson in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll be right back. It's the Tech Guy Show with Leo Laporte, except it's not. Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek. This section of the Tech Guy Show is brought to you by DSL Extreme, Leo's own internet service provider. So, let's see, where were we? We were talking about all sorts of things, but for now, let's take a call from Aaron in Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
Why, I'm doing fabulous. How are you? I'll let you know how you're doing. You're doing great as well.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm having such a great time.
I'm just telling you, no, dude, you're doing good. And it's very few men look good sitting in a ball like that.
I am honored to be sitting on Leo's own ball here.
You can hold it off, man. You look good sitting on that ball. And actually, I'm Aaron B. in chat, so I'll say hello whenever they're in chat.
Thank you very much.
And you're doing good. So there.
Thanks.
The question I had for people that are tired of hearing from me are this, is that someone was talking to you about something similar earlier. I heard that Bose has actually come out with a television where I assume they are not making the television. But I know no highs, no lows, but it's TV. I kid. I kid because I love. But no,
yes, exactly.
Come out with a TV where it's all just, it's all in one. Where it's like they have, it's one of those, because I have found that I have been happiest with their fake surround sound. And I'm a nut. Like, I have a full-on 5.1 home theater system in my computer room. I mean, I'm stupid. I have three. I have one in my bedroom, one in my computer room, and one in the living room. And then actually,
yeah, man,
home theater room.
That's the way to do it.
My wife will leave me alone. And and what I'm wondering is if you have heard their thing, because I was thinking about switching out. I mean, you know, my wife doesn't like all the speakers in the bedroom, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do the
That's the spouse acceptance factor, often normally called the wife acceptance factor, because most of us geeks are male. But basically. I don't want to prejudice anything. I don't want to say there aren't any female geeks, because there are.
Oh, there.
But in any event, yeah, you're asking about Bose. I have heard also that they're now offering a TV, obviously sourced from somebody else, with their Bose sound system built into it. I haven't seen it, so I can't say what I think about it. I can say that most Bose products I'm not really that fond of in terms of the sound quality. I tend to think that they sell more on their name and reputation than on the actual quality. Now, having said that, I will say also that I am a strong believer in their noise-canceling headphones. I wear their noise-canceling headphones every time I fly, and they really do a superior job of that. I don't normally listen to music while I'm flying. I just want quiet, and they do a superb job of that. The new Quiet Comfort 15s, I prefer the over-the-ear like I'm wearing now as opposed to the on-the-ear. I think they are better isolation. But that's a sort of a different topic. In terms of home theater, I'm not a big fan of Bose. What do you think, David?
Never been a big fan. If you have a small room, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any type of cubic feet whatsoever, the sound quality just isn't there, especially if you can do an AB back-to-back with some what I consider real speakers. it just blows them away.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sorry, we can't be more positive about Bose in this particular case, but, you know, got to call them like we see them, right?
No. No, dude, I don't know if you still hear me, but yes. No, I agree completely. As a matter of fact, I'm happy to hear that. It saved me a drive. I mean, greatly. I mean, honestly, and what I don't understand, what other people don't do, because this dude's a genius, is that he makes home theater so easy to use. But if you would just put that same emphasis on making it sound as good, it would be great. But
To me, Bose is a marketing company that just happens to sell speaker systems and now TV, and right, not the other way around. But the other companies could learn a lot from them as far as how to set things up.
Yeah.
Could learn things.
Absolutely.
And they could learn. You know what I mean? I just don't get it, because it's like, it's so easy to use a Bose home theater system, but why doesn't it sound better?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm afraid I have to agree with you.
But I agree with you on the hand that I have two pair of the noise canceling headset, one for my wife, one for myself. I use them all the time. Absolutely. What they do great. And what they don't do great, they say they do great and charge.
Yep. Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Aaron.
You guys are both doing great up there. I hope maybe you can make it like an every 6 month thing or something. It'd be great.
Leo can take a vacation.
Yeah, well, maybe Leo finally took a vacation, then we'll do it again. Sure, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Post, old man. I go to South Pole. I gotta sit on your ball.
Hey, I'm warm here. He's probably freezing his you know what off.
So okay, we got Pete.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay, we got Pete in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hey, Pete, how you doing? Pete, are you there?
Yep, now I am.
Oh, here you are. Excellent. What can we do for you?
I have a question about putting what type of TV to put into a vehicle. I run a small charity, and we take kids who are going through treatment for cancer back and forth to appointments. And I'm wondering, the vehicle that we bought that we're going to use this for has no windows in the back, because we're going to set it up with PlayStations and that kind of stuff in the back. Uh-huh. And wondering, you know, what you know, I guess what type of TV I should use for the vibration in Wisconsin. It gets kind of cold in the wintertime, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a good question.
Are you looking for like a flip down television for the car?
No, it's a the vehicle that we bought is a 2007 Sprinter, the Dodge or Mercedes Sprinter.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking at least a 42 and two 32s. So they won't be flip downs. They'll be permanently mounted on the walls.
I must admit, I don't have much experience with putting TVs in cars. I've seen them built into cars, you know, SUVs and so on for the kids in the back seat. Putting them in their aftermarket, as they might say, I'm not quite sure what you would do there. Clearly, it'd have to be small, so it'd have to be an LCD. I don't know if the LCD would freeze in Wisconsin.
That my concern would be not necessarily freezing, but if it gets cold, you never want to turn on a piece of really cold electronics because it heats up and then you can get condensation in it.
That's true. That's also true.
That would be my one worry for it.
I would say, I guess I would say do an experiment, you know, try get something really inexpensive. Vizio makes a 7-inch portable TV for like $100 or $150, something like that. You know, get one of those, try it out, leave it in the car. I mean, you guys are under 10 feet of snow right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, get something inexpensive or even less expensive. You know, I've seen at Save-On, you know, the Kobe or the Scepter or, you know, one of these really cheapies. Portable TVs, you know, and just try it. Stick it in there and try it and see if spending more money, investing more money is going to be worth it or if you're just going to be throwing your money away because of those problems that you say. I think that's probably the best I can suggest.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure. No problem. Okay. Let's see. We got Cody in Corona, California. But before we get to Cody, we're going to have to wrap pretty soon. So I don't think we can actually get to you until after the break. Can you hang on with us? I hope you can. We didn't quite get the call pulled up there, but we'll get to Cody here after the break. But before we get to the break, let's see. What can we...
Dead air.
Nothing like dead air. What were we going to talk about? We had something in mind, and I was trying to think of it, and of course now I can't think of it.
We can talk about The Social Network.
Ooh, that's true. That's coming up. You saw that.
Yeah, great movie. And I'm not a Facebook guy. I mean, I'll go on Facebook maybe once a month because, frankly... Don't want to talk to those people.
Well, we're going to now go to a commercial break. I'm Scott Wilkinson in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, it's Scott Wilkinson here, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And before the end of the show, I promised myself I would blow the vuvuzela at least once. So here it is. I wasn't at the World Cup, unfortunately. I wish I had been, because I would love to have heard 80,000 vuvuzelas playing at the same time.
Sounded like a bunch of mosquitoes on TV.
I know. It was hilarious. It was just hilarious. I saw the YouTube of it, but I would love to have been there in the middle of that sound. What a sound. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We are in our last segment of the day, and I've been having such a great time in here with David Vaughn, our movie reviewer and equipment reviewer for UltimateAVMag.com and HomeTheater.com. We do have one more call from Cody in Corona, California. Hey, Cody, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Looks like I just made it in.
You just did. Last call of the day.
Yeah, so... We just moved across town into a single story with 12-foot high ceilings, and the home theater unit has 5 cutouts for in-ceiling speakers. So I was wondering what would be your recommendations for in-ceiling speakers?
You can go a lot of directions, depending on how much you want to spend. Klipsch makes them. Cambridge Soundworks.
Atlantic Technology.
Atlantic Technology.
Polk, I think, makes
Polk,
some.
Yeah, I mean,
Speakercraft.
Yep, there are a lot of choices. It would depend on your budget.
Maybe like a mid-range budget. I mean, obviously not into the $10,000, but we definitely would like some highs and lows. So, of course, not both.
Yeah, okay, good.
I don't... You know, on hometheater.com, we have a whole section of in-wall and on-wall speaker reviews. And Gary Altunian is our main in-wall speaker reviewer. In-walls in particular are difficult to review because it requires the reviewer to cut holes in his walls, which is not what a lot of people want to do with their walls. So he has actually built a room within a room with wood panels that he can install them no problem. So he's the in-wall theater, in-wall speaker guy. And he's written quite a few reviews on hometheater.com. So I would recommend going there. There's pricing there. There's quality comments there. So things are really going to, you're really going to find a lot of information on hometheater.com. So I would definitely recommend going there. I myself don't have a lot of experience with them, so I can't say, you know, buy this one, not that one. But 12-foot ceilings, that's going to be awfully high. I would say if you can avoid putting your front speakers up there, it's going to be better. You want your front speakers to be more facing you rather than way up above you. The surrounds are okay, but
although there are some in-ceiling speakers now that are made where they're angled to be pointed at the listening area from the ceiling.
That's true.
So that's minimized some of those issues. I've actually heard them. They sound pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they are pricey, though. I want to say $1,000 a speaker, $800 a speaker, which is pricey for a speaker, but it's a specialty thing, so they get an extra couple dollars for it.
Yeah, exactly right. So good luck with that.
All right, thank you. I'll go check that out then.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, before we go on, let's hear from Leo about Carbonite.com.
I do want to remind you, when you listen to this show, you should be backing up. Of course, I don't have to remind you if you're a Carbonite customer, because you're always backing up. That's why I tell people use Carbonite. Carbonite online backup. Guarantee you sometime in the next few months, maybe next year, maybe if you're really lucky, the next 3 years, you're going to lose data. Something bad will happen to your computer. A crash, a virus. Maybe you'll drop or lose your laptop. And in an instant, all those precious files, the music, the pictures, the financial records, the email, will be gone forever, unless you have a backup. So before anything happens to you, remember these three words, Carbonite Online Backup. There are three reasons to get Carbonite right now. It's easy. You can get started right now at Carbonite.com with the offer code Leo. It's automatic. Your pictures and the other files on your computer are backed up every time you're online, securely and effectively. And finally, and I really should tell you more about this because I don't mention it enough, Carbonite gives you anytime, anywhere access to your backed up files from any computer, even before disaster strikes. So it's almost like you've got your files available, you know, to you anywhere. They even have free smartphone apps. Try Carbonite right now before you need it, because after you need it, too late. Carbonite.com, offer code Leo for a 2-week trial. If you decide to buy, use my name again. You'll get 2 months additional free. Got to back it up to get it back, so do it right. At Carbonite.
That's right. Do it right at Carbonite. This is Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Before we go on, I want to give my great thanks to Luis Oliveira and Kyle Benham on the board for us, and Rebecca Baker answering the phone, producing the show. Thank you so much for all your support. It's been a great time here on my first day as guest host of the Tech Guy Show, and I'll be back tomorrow for more home theater geekery. But for at the moment, I'm very privileged and pleased to bring on to the show in his regular time slot, Mr. Dick DiBartolo, Mad's maddest writer. Hey, Dick.
Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Having a great time.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
At least for the last 30 seconds, because that's when I tuned in. No.
Well, thank you very much.
No, it sounds good. It sounds good.
It
was so funny because someone called in about the Bose TV, And I was actually up, it's called Bose Mountain, where Bose has their facilities. They have 800 engineers up there. It is quite an amazing place.
Yeah.
And they set up these great demos where you think you're hearing sounds from here and there. And they brought us up and they had this flat screen TV and we went in the room and you hear the sound behind you and either side of the screen and from the screen. And then they, after the demo, they do the normal thing where they tell you to turn around and look behind you. And
there's nothing there.
A couple of exactly what you think they're speakers, and they hit a magnetic button and they just fall open and they're just wooden boxes. And they do the same with the front.
Uh-huh.
And then you learn that the entire sound system is built into the TV. And now you're talking to someone who lives in a 2.5-room apartment, so I don't know from big speakers.
Right.
You know, people say to me, do you stream music from one room to the other? And I say, no, I just make it a little bit louder and I can hear it. I don't need to stream.
Right.
So the sound sounded awesome to me. But what you guys were saying is something that, or the caller too, is this is what Bose does best. Is the guy said, you know, when you bought your first TV, was this the remote control? On, off, channel up, channel down.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is your current TV. And he brings out a remote with 97 buttons on
it. Right, right, right.
And they say, now this is the remote that comes with the Bose TV. It's back to those four buttons with a little pad. And the pad, you just hit what you're going to do, DVD, whatever it is. And then all those controls, the picture shrinks a little. And all those controls are menu driven with that little pad on the remote control.
So is it like an air mouse kind of, or a,
yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've seen some of this with TVs. Now they're starting to get some of these gestural remotes.
Yes. So they make it wildly easy. I mean, it's wildly expensive. It's like $4,000.
For what size of a TV?
You know, I think it was a 42, maybe the chat room could look it up.
Wow. For
us. But they come to your home and they set everything up.
Ah.
So it's the person who wants everything to work,
mm-hmm.
and no wire. They just do it all. They just do it all.
Well, I have heard sound bars, you know, basically an array of speakers in the front that make it sound like something's coming from behind. So it sounds like that's sort of what they're doing.
But you know what, Scott? He took out an array and said, you want to hear that sound come from that corner of the room? And they would play a sound. And you would swear that there was a speaker up in that corner. It was a series of 18 speakers up this channel. Whatever they do, mm-hmm. I mean, they do good stuff. And like you, I also go everywhere with their Quiet Comfort 15s. Those are
you just
amazing.
Got the new ones.
Yeah,
I had the Quiet Comfort 20s, I guess, and they broke. And to Bose's credit, I go into a Bose store and I say they broke. And they said, oh, well, we'll, you know, give us those and we'll sell you the Quiet Comfort 15 for $100. They're normally $3.
Right.
So I was super impressed with that.
And I met Dr. Bose. I said, you know, do the engineers have a lot of freedom here? And he goes, oh, a lot of freedom. He said, you can only get fired from Bose for doing one thing. And I said, what's that? He said, trashing the competition. You trash the competition, you're out the door.
Fantastic. Dick DiBartolo, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank
I'm Scott
you.
Wilkinson,
the home, thank you.
The home theater geek, in for Leo Laporte, the tech guy. See you tomorrow.